to Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing. I pray you are as well. God's working in our lives, and what a wonderful thing. What an amazing thing for us to sit back and marvel at, to see all that God's doing in and through His local New Testament church in our lives. We're thankful for that. Hebrews chapter 11, and I just want to say I'm thankful for all of you. I thank you for your prayers, and I want you to know I'm praying for you all, and I thank you for praying for my wife and I as well. I think it was said this morning by way of prayer at the offering time right here, we need to thank, we're thankful for our teachers. And listen, we've got some wonderful teachers of the Word of God here. We're exceptionally blessed here with folks to be able to open up the Bible and teach young and old alike. And I'm just thankful for that this morning. And how many are thankful for that by say amen? Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. God knows exactly what every local church needs, and He provides that for every local church. And I'm so thankful for that. God knows a whole lot better what He's doing than I do. I know that for sure. So Hebrews chapter number 11, we're looking at this matter of faithful Christianity. And this morning we'll be dealing with the subject, you can see there, faithful obedience. I hope you understand at this point that faith is fundamental to the Christian life. It's coupled with our faith should be this matter of obedience to the Lord. I believe this, James emphasized it this way in James chapter number 1 in verse number 22 when he said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Can I encourage you this morning that spiritual growth will come in the Christian life, but it'll only take place as we apply the Word of God. And oftentimes we'll say that we need to apply the Word of God. What exactly does that mean? It means exercising ourselves in obedience to Him. And here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, we come to one of the most prominent records of faith in all of the Bible, and that is of faithful Abraham. Faithful Abraham. You know this, Abraham is called the father of all them that believe. You'll find that phrase in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 11. Abraham's example of the faithful Christian life is mentioned frequently in the New Testament. In fact, as I counted it out in just the New Testament epistles, I found 32 references to Abraham in the New Testament epistles. And get this, there's over 250 references to Abraham throughout the entire Bible. Abraham's example is mentioned time and time again. I want us to look here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to read one verse and then we'll have a word of prayer in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. If you notice, it says this in verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Abraham, when he is called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." Now, there's three phrases in there I want you to pay careful attention to. Those three phrases will make up our main points this morning. The first is seen there is he was called. And then you'll notice as you go down through the verse, next, the second phrase, obeyed. And then the third phrase, he went out. And so we have he was called, he obeyed, and he went out. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us in this matter of faith, full obedience. Help us to realize that Abraham was not sinless, but certainly he was one that got up time and time again and said yes to you. He obeyed the instructions that you gave to him. And Father, he had learned along the way. There's no doubt about that. And Father, I believe that you have this record recorded for us purposely so that we could see ourselves in faithful Abraham. And Lord, I pray every child of God here would be a Christian that is full of faith in this matter of obedience to you. Help us, Lord, just to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And then, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, help them to understand that faithful obedience begins with the very first step, and that's trusting in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so, Father, I pray if there's someone here like that, Lord, you work in their lives, open their eyes to truth, And perhaps, Lord, there be repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. But Father, for us as Christians, help us to walk away saying yes to you, that today I'm going to be obedient to you, and tomorrow when I get up, I'm going to be obedient to you, and the next day when I get up, I'm going to be obedient to you. Lord, help us and encourage us in that way, knowing that the best life that you have for us is a life that you have designed for us. And so, Father, help us, Lord. We pray and ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this account referenced here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 is actually found in Genesis chapters 11 and verse number 12. And we're going to turn there in just a minute. Really, it begins in the latter part of chapter number 11, where we learn of Abraham's lineage from the line of Terah. In fact, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. You might keep your finger there if you want to go back to Hebrews 11. But Genesis chapter number 12, so all the way to the other side of the Bible. Now, like this as often is the case in the Scriptures, that God ties together His Word from end to end. And what I mean by that is oftentimes you find references in the New Testament that bring us all the way back to the Old Testament and then bring us all the way back unto the New Testament. God ties His Word together end to end. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 12, as you get there, the reference to what we saw in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8. In verse number 1, we'll read it together. The Bible says this: Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And so here we see the three parts that were listed really in Hebrews 11 and 8 are exemplified here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. We have the fact that Abraham was called in the first part of verse number 8 in Hebrews chapter 11. We have secondly the fact that Abraham not only was called, but he obeyed right in the middle of that sentence in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. And then towards the end, we have almost a repetitive statement. The writer of Hebrews says not only did he obey, but it says he went out. And on the end of that, it says not knowing whither he went. Now, we know and believe this, that God is not just giving us extra words. I hope you understand that. God doesn't give us superfluous words in the Word of God. Every word is there on purpose. And so we understand this, that the writer of Hebrews, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is giving us an understanding of this area of faith, full obedience. It's defining for us this matter of faith, full obedience. I hope you understand that these cases are presented to strengthen the faith of the Hebrew Christian in the first century. And likewise, for you and I today, these cases are presented to strengthen us in this journey of life as we follow after the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, this pastor is willing to admit, I need strength from the Lord. I pray you're in that way too. You realize that, listen, I cannot live this Christian life on my own. It's an impossibility. I need strength from the Lord. And the Lord provides what we have a need of. And I'm so thankful for that. If you're taking notes, would you write this down? First of all, Abraham's calling. Abraham's calling. Now we notice here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, as you look at that verse at the very beginning, you'll notice it says this: Now the Lord, notice the words, had said unto Abraham. And by using that reference to the past, it tells us that this is actually a reference to Abraham's original call, what we find here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. And in fact, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 and 3, if you'll write that down, as Stephen spoke before the Jews of his day, right before he was stoned, here's what Stephen said as he was preaching. And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto, listen carefully, our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now, Charan is actually Haran of the Old Testament. And so God spoke to him before he came to Haran and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come unto the land which I shall shew thee. Nehemiah, believe it or not, actually mentions Abraham as well. I was kind of shocked about that. But in Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 7, here's what Nehemiah had to say. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of, notice, Ur of the Chaldees and gave us him the name of Abraham. Well, if you look there in Genesis chapter 12, you'll notice this in verse number 1. What we discover about faithful Abraham is simply this about Abraham's calling, that he began in faith to take some steps of faith. But you know what Abraham did early on? He stopped in Haran. In other words, God called him to go to a land that he was going to show them. Abraham takes some steps of faith, but he stopped short of continuing in the direction God called him to go. Notice in chapter number 11, in the last part of chapter 11, look down at verse number 27, so we can see this in the text. The Bible says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity. Notice where they are. In Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Of course, that will be important later on down the road. But notice verse number 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from where? The Ur of the Chaldees. Where did they go? They went to go, the Bible says, into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and what did they do? It says they dwelt there. And then we find this subscript here in verse number 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That's when we get to chapter 12 and verse number 1. Understand that in the original languages, we don't have chapter and verse days and nations. So this would just roll right out from chapter number 11, verses 27 down through 32, right into chapter number 12 and verse number 1 as a continuation of all that is going on. And I think we can understand several points about this calling of Abraham, if you'll write these down as well. Number one, that you and I can learn by this that we need to continue our journey with the Lord. This morning, I want to encourage you as a Christian, you need to continue your journey with the Lord. I believe this, the Lord has compassion towards us in this matter of continuing Him. Aren't you glad for that? That God has compassion towards us in this matter of continuing with Him. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32, we read these words, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. Why did He have compassion? Because they continue with Me now these 3 days. And have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. In John 8:31, we find something similar. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And I'm just simply trying to tell you that God has compassion towards us to continue in our journey with Him. Paul the Apostle wisely dealt with those that he had encouraged in the Lord, these new Christians in the Bible, and he exhorts them in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 in this way, hey, you need to continue in the faith. And can I say to each one of us this morning that we need to continue with the Lord? Abraham began to take those steps of faith, but then for some period of time, he stops there in Haran. And then we see a call from God, and God says, listen, I want you to continue. I want you to go forth. Here's what I want you to do. And so you and I need to continue in faith with Him. Can I encourage you, don't ever give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, dear Christian. God has a wonderful design for your life. He has a program for your life. He has things set aside for you to do. And I promise you this, it's the very best things that you could ever imagine. And so not only are we to continue our journey with the Lord, but write this down. We need to comply with God's call. Not only should we continue with the Lord, but we need to comply with God's call. You understand that complying fully with God's call is important in this matter of obedience. Now, I may not use the example, or maybe I will, of children. Oftentimes, parents will say, hey, son, hey, daughter, go in your room and make your bed. Every child knows this, that if they halfway make their bed, half obedience is really what? Disobedience, right? And really dragging our feet on obedience, that was what would get me in trouble oftentimes. Dragging my feet in obedience, in other words, not moving immediately to go do what my parents told me to do, is also, guess what? Disobedience, right? And so God tells us some things, and He's calling us on this journey, and has a specific way He wants us to go. He has specific direction for our lives, and He did the same thing with Abraham. Notice it there in verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham," what did He tell him? "Get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto that land that I will show thee." Now, it's very interesting you think about this. This is a pretty immense call when you think about it. Here, God tells him, "Hey, I want you to leave the country that you know and love." Now, for you and I, that'd be like us getting a call to go into a foreign mission field. God presses on your heart, "Hey, I want you to go over to China. Hey, I want you to go to Scotland. Hey, I want you to go down into Central America. Hey, I want you to go down to the rainforest." And you think about that. God's calling Abram to leave his country. Everything he knows, familiar. God is saying, "I want you to get up and I want you to go to the place I'm going to show you." And so he is asked to leave his country. Notice this, he is asked to leave his kindred. Now, that would not just be the immediate family. What he's speaking of here is really kind of the extended family, kind of the culture of the day. And you'll remember the example when Jesus went down and was left in the temple. His parents went back and they assumed that he's with some of the relatives. Why? Back in that day, it would be all of the relatives, all of the extended family, all of them would live in the same geographical locations, and they would travel together as a large group, a large caravan. And so think about this. In that day, God is asking Abraham to get up and leave away from all of his kindred. And then he asks him this. He goes one step forward. He says, "Hey, I want you to not only leave your kindred, but I want you to leave your father's house as well." Of course, we see the separating work that takes place at the end of Genesis chapter number 11, where Terah dies and Abraham finally moves forward. But God asks him to leave his father's house. Then he says this, "I want you to go wherever it is that I send you." Now, Pastor James likes to be able to see 20 miles down the road. See, I like to be able to have all the details in line beforehand. I'm not very much a last-minute person. I like to plan. I like things to be in order. I like to know what's going on. But listen, God says, "Hey, I want you to get up and I want you to go. I want you to take some steps of faith. And guess what? I'm going to guide you where you go. I'm going to tell you when to stop. I'm going to tell you when to keep going." And this is what God is asking Abram to do. We see that God is calling Abram into a life of separation unto himself. This, my friend, by the way, is the call of every Christian. We're to be separated from the world and separated to Jesus Christ. It's not just good enough, by the way, to separate from the world. We must separate to the Lord Jesus. And so here's the call of every Christian. We might not be being asked this morning to go to another country. I don't know. Maybe you are. But we might not be being asked to go to another country. But we are told this, that we need to separate from the world, don't we? And that certainly has many implications. It has much application for the life of each and every believer. You know, to some, there might be some here that must separate from some worldly people in your lives. There might be some worldly people in your lives that you need to separate from and separate to God. There might be some, by way of application, that you need to separate from some worldly places. You need not to go there anymore. And you need to separate from those worldly places and separate to God. There might be some here that need to cast out some things out of their lives. Like we saw the mariners cast the wares out of the ship in the book of Jonah. Some of us here today might need to cast some things, worldly things, out of our lives to be separated unto God. I'm just telling you that God calls you and I as a Christian to live the separated life. Here, God calls Abraham to separate from family, from friends, and from country. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18 says this, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye," speaking about Christians, "are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, saith the Lord. This was the call of Abraham to separate himself from the world in pursuit of the Lord. Here's the stunning thing about the call of Abraham. The book of Hebrews tells us that, guess what? He went out. He went out. In other words, God put his call upon his life and he took some steps of faith. And yes, he stopped there in Haran, but God was not done with him. And he calls him and says, go on, Abraham. And Abraham, guess what? He takes some more steps of faith. So not only do we see Abraham's calling, but write this down. Number two, we have Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. We have first the calling of God upon our life, but then we must take a step forward in what? In obedience to the Lord. You know, obedience, I want you to always remember this. Obedience begins with the first step. You know, when someone receives Christ as their Savior in a church house setting like this during the altar call, you realize that first step is the hardest step in all the world to take. Once you get out of the pew and you start coming down the aisle, it seems like that's the easy part. It's the first part, getting up. And oftentimes it was with me. I was gripping the pew in front of me saying, no, I'm not going. And listen, I have finally said yes to the Lord and came down the aisle and received Christ as my Savior. But that first step, obedience, always begins with the first step. And so we have number one, the first steps. There's a beginning place in our obedience, and it's to realize the call of God upon your life, whatever it is, and to actually take that first step. Now, this is where understanding moves to action. This is where understanding moves to action. It's where knowledge moves to what we would call application. It begins first in our heart, and it results in a life of living faith, one step at a time. I'm glad the Lord did not stop with Abraham. Aren't you glad about that? That God didn't say, hey, you know what? You stopped in Haran. I'm done with you. No, God called Abraham again, and he says, hey, now get you up and get you into the country that I'm calling you to. And God didn't stop with Abraham, and I'm so glad about that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 gives us this encouragement. And it's interesting how it starts out. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. You know, when discontentment comes in is often when we get off the path of God. When discontentment festers in the heart, when you say, well, this is just isn't enough, and I got to go get something else, that's oftentimes the first step of disobedience in the life of a Christian. But it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he said these precious words, I will never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say this, the Lord is my helper. Aren't you glad the Lord's your helper this morning? Amen. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Listen, my fellow laborer, for the Lord is our helper. He will never leave us and forsake us. And I'm encouraged this morning that he'll never leave me or forsake me. So that's the first steps. But notice this, I want you to understand, Christian. You say, oh, all right, Pastor James, I'm going to take those first steps. And you take those first steps. I want you to realize this, that there's not only the first steps. Mason says, amen, praise the Lord. Not only the first steps, but then secondly, we have, just know it's coming, further steps. God always has some further steps. How many realize this is in heaven? Raise your hand, amen. How many understand that, right? We said it this morning. This place is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? And we're looking forward to that day of stepping in the journey. Hey, listen, God has further steps. There's no stopping place, as one might say, in our upward ascent to glory. There's no stopping place. And I agree with that, that God's calling you and I to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That's the high watermark of Christianity, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, I'm not concerned with comparing myself with everybody else. I'm looking to Jesus, and that's the high watermark of the Christian faith. God's calling you and I, wherever we are, wherever you are, along that path of obedience. He says, okay, take a step of obedience, all right. But he's saying, hey, take another step, take some further steps, and keep moving forward with the Lord. You say, is it scary at times? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's been several times my wife and I in our Christian life, we've had to take some steps which seem like God's probably asking us to take a step like this. To us, we're envisioning a step like this, right? It just feels like we're taking this massive step of obedience for the Lord. And listen, we're reading about this and we're seeing Abraham beginning to walk with God. In fact, in this moment, Abraham is not even called Abraham, is he? He's called Abram, not Abraham. It would not be until later on down the road, after many steps of faith, that God changes his name to Faithful, guess what? Abraham, father of many nations. The point I'm trying to make and the point that you and I should understand is that God's calling us today to take some further steps. But then you think, okay, all right, Pastor James, I'm on board. I'll take the first steps. And then he calls you to some further steps. You say, wow, this is kind of scary, Pastor James, but I'll take some further steps. Guess what? God has some future steps for you to take as well. You know, the great question is this: what does tomorrow hold for you as a Christian? And the answer to that question, I can give it to you unequivocally this morning, only God knows. God knows. What does tomorrow hold for this local New Testament church? The answer to that is only God knows. Friend, one thing is for sure. I know for sure that God has a path laid out for us, just as he did for Abraham. And it's a wonderful walk of faith. It's a wonderful path. God has so much in store for you. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12, look there in verse number 4. So Abram did what? Departed. How did he do so? Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. I think it's for you and I today, it's sufficient to know this, that there's steps for us to take in the future, and the call is always this, for us to obey today what God is asking us to do. See, I don't have to worry about 20 years down the road. Why? Because God has me in his hand. God already knows the steps of faith that will be required of me 20 years down the road. What he's asking me to do is not be concerned about those 20 years down the road. He says, you, take a step with me today. Take a step today. You know, the fact of the matter is that our obedience today will help us with our obedience in the future. Your obedience today will help you with your obedience in the future. In fact, turn over to Romans chapter 5 very quickly. We have to move quickly and look at this very quickly. I want you to see this, verse 3 through 5. There's a wonderful cyclical process that takes place, a cycle of processes that takes place in the Christian life, and we do well to know that process. It'll help you, my friend, to understand that God has the very best for you. Notice in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 3, the Bible says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many believe that's a weird statement, amen? We glory in tribulations. I don't know that I woke up and said, boy, I can't wait till the next tribulation comes in my life. But Paul here understood the forest from the trees, and he says, hey, we glory in tribulations. Why? Notice why he glories in tribulations. Tribulations work patience. First step. God is doing a work in your life, friend, and as he works in your life and as you take steps of faith, you know what God's doing? That fruit of the Spirit is coming out. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those things are growing as you say yes to the Lord. And God says, I'm going to increase patience in your life. And so you're there waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. And what happens with patience? Oh, that turns to experience. Now, I like this about young people. They play a lot of video games. A lot of young people know that experience is important for leveling up characters in video games, okay? So patience works experience. Hey, you know what? To level up in the Christian life, you need some experience. Amen? So we have patience, and as we wait on the Lord, and as God comes through in a mighty way, as God directs in our lives, as God helps us through the steps of life, we gain experience. And then guess what? Look, it continues. And experience then turns into what? Hope. You know what hope is? Hope is what's down the road. Hope is those further steps, those future steps that God has you to take. Hey, that's hope right there in the bank from the patience which turned into experience, which resulted in hope. And then guess what? The hope maketh us not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, every step of the way, every faith step of the way, where God works in a mighty way, the love of God increases in your heart. Why? Because you see His mighty hand upon your life. And your faith increases exponentially. This process is ongoing steps of faith, steps of faith, steps of faith. We know later on down the road, God would ask Abraham to take the ultimate step of faith. You know what it is? In sacrificing the promised child, his only child, Isaac. He's called to sacrifice this promised child. If Isaac was between 13 and 25 years at the time of his sacrifice, and at the time of Genesis 12, Abraham's 75 years old, Genesis 12 in verse number 4, Isaac was born to Abraham at the age of 100 in Genesis 21:5, then that would mean that that step of faith for Abraham and his son to take him and sacrifice him was 38 to 50 years down the road from Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Someone most recently told me this. There's at least one person in glory who at least could in part identify with God the Father and God the Son. And that is faithful Abraham, who took his only son and sacrificed him on the top of that mountain. You think of the commandment of God, and he'd already done the sacrificing in his heart before he ever laid Isaac on that altar on top of that mount. You say, what are you saying, Pastor James? I take the first steps. I take the further steps. Take the future steps. God's got them all in His hand, and He just is asking you to take a step of obedience. Number three, and we're almost done. Abraham's walk. Abraham's walk. We understand the Bible tells us back in the book of Hebrews that he went not knowing whither he went. He went forward not knowing whither he went. And by the way, this is the challenge. This is the challenge of the faith life, and this is a challenge to my own faith journey that God asks us to take steps of obedience. We don't have all the answers, but we've got some good answers. We know who God is and that He's good and that He's got nothing but the best for us in our lives. But I don't know what's all the way down the road. There's several things about Abraham's faithful obedience we can see in his walk. First of all, I want you to write down these two things. Abraham always had a tent and he always had an altar. He always had a tent and he always had an altar. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but you can write them down all through Abraham's life. You can see the tent and the altar. The tent says this, I'm just passing through this place. I'm just sojourning through this place. In other words, I realize this is not my home. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is not human. It's God Himself. And so I'm just passing through. There's always a tent in his life. And guess what? When he set up his tent, he then turned around and set up this altar. And he says, my life is not only passing through, but it's connected with my God. He always had a tent and an altar. Genesis 12:8, first occurrence here. He enters Sichem and Moreh and shows us the two things of tent and altar. They speak of sojourning. They speak with his communion and faith with God. Genesis 13:4, Abraham was able to deal with the strife between Lot's herdsmen and his herdsmen. Why? Because he had a tent and he had an altar. That's why. He's passing through and he's looking to God. Genesis 13, 17, and 18, we find once again, he moves at the direction of God, but immediately when he stops, he builds an altar unto the Lord. Genesis 15, we see the covenantal sacrifice that Abraham makes, again speaking with his communion with God after rescuing Lot from the kings that took him of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 17, after the failure of faith in chapter 16 with Hagar and the birth of Ishmael with Abraham was 86 years old, Genesis 16, 16. And Abraham now being 99 years old, we see once again his communion, his altar time with the Lord. And God says this, I'm Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. It's in this time, many steps of faith down the road. In fact, 24 years since his first steps of faith, Abraham's name is changed and he obeys with the circumcision of Ishmael in himself. Genesis 18, again, we see Abraham's tent. We see Abraham's communion with the Lord. And God tells him in that with his communion and his tent. And God looks to him and says to Abraham this wonderful saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. This is an amazing journey of Abraham's tent and his altar, his walk with the Lord. Genesis 21, verse number 33, we find a grove. But guess what's in the midst of that grove? His altar. I want you to realize some last things about this. Write these down about his obedience. Characteristics of obedience. Number one, his obedience was consistent. Consistent. I believe you and I can see a pattern in Abraham's life. Why? Because it's pinned down for us throughout the Scriptures that he lived a life consistently obedient to God. And I pray every Christian here this day would have a consistent pattern of obedience. If God were to recount the steps of our lives, if God were to record it before us, as Abraham's is, would we be seen, being read by all, as being consistent in our obedience to Him? We're not speaking of being sinless. We're speaking of a heart that consistently says yes to the Lord. A heart that says yes to the Lord. Number two, his heart obedience was not only consistent, but it was connected. Connected to what? You know, the obedience of Abraham is always connected to the Lord. That's where we see his altar. It's always connected to the Lord. In other words, he wasn't just going through the motions. He was following after God. His obedience, his movement in life was based on God's call. And so it's connected. It's connected. And I pray it is that our obedience is always connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just out of rhythm or religion. It is out of relationship and fellowship with the Lord that our obedience is connected. Number three, his obedience was not only connected, but it was central. It was central. You know, everything in Abraham's life surrounded about that was surrounded about that obedience. Everything in his life, everything concerning the trajectory of his life, had to do with his obedience to his God. Did Abraham sin? Absolutely, Abraham sinned. There's several times we have recorded very transparently in the Word of God that Abraham had a lot of missteps along the way. In fact, some of those missteps even were learned by his son later on, because his son missteps the same way. But the central trait of Abraham's obedience was to the Lord. It was central. We see all throughout his recorded life that after those missteps, guess what he did? He got up and returned right back to the altar in communion with the Lord and continued with his tent. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falls seven times, but what? Rises up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. I think of this, that his obedience was not only consistent, it was connected, it was central. But then lastly, his obedience was courageous. It was courageous. You know, as we read the account before us, we find that it takes biblical courage to walk with the Lord, doesn't it? It takes biblical courage to walk with the Lord. It's not easy. I've heard it said before, folks will say, the Christian life is an easy life. Oh, friend, it's not an easy life. It's not an easy life. It's an equipped life. There's no doubt about that. It's the best life. There's no doubt about that. But man, there's a war going on inside of me, and there's a war going on all around me in spiritual warfare. It's not easy. It takes courage. This is why God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. And so it's the courageous life. See, there's always an opposing flow from the world. There's always an opposing flow from wickedness. And oh, by the way, there's always an opposing flow from the old man inside of us in the Christian life. This is seen in the life of Abraham. Could I submit to you? This is the life of every Christian running the Christian race this morning. It's going to take courage and boldness, not on your own, but from the Lord, to walk in His ways and through this entire life. Abraham hung his entire life on the words of the Lord. Think of it. God says, get up and go. Get up and go. You separate. You leave everything you know. You separate from your kindred. Separate from your family. Separate from all familiarity. Just go to a place I'm going to show you. Hey, my friend, this life is a life of faith. Think of the courage. Here we see Abraham at the age of 75. Abraham steps into eternity at the age of 175. 100 years. 100 years of faith, full obedience to the Lord. For us today, that's over a lifetime for most of us. Over a lifetime for most of us. Think of the courage that it took Abraham to be obedient to the Lord. Think of the courage and the boldness it took for him to go to some foreign place he'd never been. Think of the courage it took for him to always set up that altar and always drudge around that tent. What an example of faithful obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, as we move from this time of preaching to the time of the altar call, Has God challenged you in this area of faithful obedience? We see the call of Abraham, and perhaps it is this morning. I'm not ignorant to think that God is not calling men and women and folks into the mission field or into full-time service, or perhaps God's calling you to a new job, or maybe God's calling you to a different place. I don't know what it is that God's doing in your life, but maybe for somebody this morning, God has a specific call upon your life. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never been born again. You never by faith trusted in Jesus and Him alone for your soul salvation. The first call for you, my friend, can I tell you? I already know what it is. Why? On the authority of the Word of God. The first call for any person is to be reconciled to God by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ for your soul salvation. That's the very first call. But maybe it is something else specific. Can I encourage you when we have this altar time to just say yes to the Lord? Maybe it is you come down here and pray at the altar and say yes to the Lord. Maybe you sit in your seat, say yes to the Lord. But the important thing is this. In your heart, between you and God, not between you and the preacher, but between you and God, you say yes to the Lord. Secondly, we see Abraham's obedience. He took first steps, he took further steps, he took future steps. Sometimes it is that we've taken some first steps, like Abraham, but we stopped. We stopped somewhere along the way. We're in Haran, so to speak. Listen, we don't want a cataclysmic event to happen in your life. We just want you to say yes to the Lord and move forward with your end. And perhaps you stopped somewhere. Maybe the challenge for you is to take another step of faith. What is it? I don't know. God knows. You ask Him, He'll tell you which way to go. And the call for you maybe this morning is to come to this altar and say, Lord, I've stopped and I'm just going to continue now. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I stopped in Haran. I'm going to continue in faith. And so we see, thirdly, the walk of Abraham. Perhaps it's that God's identified in your life that it hasn't been a consistent obedience to the Lord. Maybe it hasn't been connected to the Lord's will for your life. In other words, you've been doing obedient things, but it's disconnected from your relationship and fellowship with God. You're just going through the whatever the motions are. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I need to get connected to You. I need to be connected to You. Maybe, lastly, you realize this, it's not central to your life. It's peripheral. You know that God is always previous and He's always preeminent. He's always previous and He's always preeminent. And somewhere along the way, oftentimes, as idolatry sneaks in, other things crowd in, he does not become central to us anymore. He becomes secondary or tertiary or somewhere down the line. And we need to say yes to the Lord. Lord, You're the preeminent one. You're the preeminent one and You're always previous. And I'm gonna make a will choice that You'll be central in my life. Lastly, maybe you need some courage this morning. Listen, there's a lot of tough things that you're going to face in the Christian life. I'll never sell you a wooden nickel and tell you it's the easy life. I'm going to tell you it's the courageous life. And you need courage from the Lord to face those things, whatever they are. You know who can give you that courage and boldness? God can. He gives it to you through the ministry of His Spirit. He gives it to you through the precious Word of God. And He can give you, in that time of prayer, that peace that passes all understanding. Maybe you need to come forward and say, Lord, I need to be strong and of good courage. I need to be not afraid. Would You help me? Well, I pray that you and I will be obedient to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we so thank You for this example of faithful obedience. In the life of Abraham, so much more we can see in his life. Perhaps we will in the coming weeks. Father, Abraham was faithful in his obedience. Father, I'm challenged by all of this. I endeavor to be obedient to You, but I don't know that I could check all the boxes and say I'm consistent, connected, and central, and courageous. Well, Father, oftentimes I falter in my steps, stop in Haran, I get turned around. Perhaps, Lord, many times in my own life that You haven't been central, become secondary. Well, Father, let it not be so for any of the Christians that are here this day. Well, Father, I pray You'd move in their hearts and their lives, whatever thing it is that You're dealing with them about, Lord, that they say yes to You. Father, would You strengthen Thy church family, be more conformed to the image of Christ. And then, Lord, I do pray if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, perhaps this is the very first time that they realize, I need to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to get that dealt with today. Lord, help them to take that first step, Oh, Father, would you challenge their hearts, open their eyes to truth, give them courage to take that first step. Lord, I know all the sweetness that follows when we say yes to you. Pray there be a ton of sweetness in this room this day. Lord, as Christians say yes to you, Father, help us in this thing. We need your help. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. As you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed, PS begins to play. No one looking around. Time the altar calls, a time for you to spend alone with God. Amongst God's people, you might come to the front and the altar, that's fine, and you bow down and say, Lord, I need help. Maybe you're there in your seat and dealing with something, and that's fine as well. Listen, God's not constrained to work in the pew or in the altar. I know there's something different oftentimes about coming to the altar because it's an action of submission. It's an action of obedience in a way, saying, Lord, I recognize you're dealing with me. Can I encourage you that God is able? He's able. Abraham found out there was nothing. There's nothing. God says, I'm God Almighty. There's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing too hard for me. Lord, increase our faith. Help us. Well, Father, I just pray for all those that are praying right now. Lord, that your hand would be upon them. Give them strength. Give them encouragement. Help them to have great peace in their hearts and joy overflowing. Lord, I pray, Father, because they've said yes to you. They said yes to you. Father, I know the fruit of the Spirit. It is joy. And Father, I know there's joy in obedience. And so, Father, I pray there will be a bunch of smiley faces, happy faces, leaving thy house because of what you've done in their hearts. Father, whatever the call is upon our lives, help us, Lord, to take one step and then take the next step in thy timing and in thy purposes. Oh, Father, if we just need to stand still, maybe that's the call today. Maybe God's asking for some of us to stand still as we continue. Maybe we just need to stand still. Some of the hardest times I've ever had in my life is just waiting. Just waiting. Praying and waiting. You know, inaction doesn't mean God's not doing something in your heart. God could be working and you're standing still. He did in the life of the nation of Israel. Showed himself mighty before them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're about to be done. That doesn't mean God's done with you. Trust and obey. We'll finish up after this chorus. Trust and obey. And there really is, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, to be full of joy.